Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am your host, the one and only Andrea James, and today I want to say thank you, Father, for waking me up today. It is a brand new day. I am so excited to be alive today. Excuse me. I want to just say that we're making history today, and I'm here in rainy Pasadena, California. But before I forget, thank you, Father God, for waking me up early this morning to give me enough time that I'm a history in the making today. Mommy, Daddy, ancestors, got an internet radio show. And let me just say, as I hear people say, I wish, I dream, and I turn and look at them, I say that live your dreams, never give up. And you've tuned into Black Talk Radio Network. .com, and my illustrious longtime friend and guest is the one and only, and she's known by this in Southern California, Deborah Johnson, the Smile Lady. And I'm so excited to have her on my show. And the subject for today is, are we afraid of success? And I can attest to that. And I'll share a little bit more of that backstory once I bring on Deborah Johnson. But it's we're on Facebook Live, I think. I did a little remote live recording there. And it's just wow. So bear with me. It could be I got too much rain on the brain because we've been having so much rain here in Southern California, but we definitely need it. But let me just go right into the show. Deborah Johnson, the Smile Lady, are you with me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, my queen. You're right there. Okay. Ah!
Oh, it is an honor. I've been watching you, Miss Town Crier, and this today's entrepreneur is I love it. I love what you're doing, you know.
Well, it was you. You were the one that inspired me way back in, 2008, 2009, when we met. We were both part of a nonprofit organization at that time, and when I started telling you some of the things that I wanted to do, you were just said, Andrea, just do it. And every so often you would follow up with me, Andrea, are you doing it? No, I'm not doing it. And you said, Andrea, you know what? You're afraid of success. And I said, you know, you're right. But now that I have embraced it, the opportunity came for me to do an internet radio show, the platform blacktalkradionetwork.com. And at that point I said, wow, who do I know? I know entrepreneurs. So I'm not afraid anymore. What I do, I inspire other people to get them past that point of being afraid. So I want to thank you, Deborah, and I'll say it to the world that you've been my number one supporter, my sister from another mother, and now look where we are in 2017.
Oh,
I got
you
an
know
internet
what?
Radio show, Today's Entrepreneur with the Smile Lady. And you got your own TV show as well.
In the Smile Studio, you know what? The one thing I want to say, a lot of people get the smile confused. It's an acronym, first of all. And
yes.
The S is for support. The M is for motivate. The I is invest. The L is love. and the E is educate. And everybody says, oh, you're not laughing today. Well, you know, if I see one of our brothers being murdered, I'm not going to be laughing, but I'm going to be smiling. I either going to be educating you or whatever, because just because I'm a smile lady doesn't mean everything is funny. And I was afraid of success for so many reasons, and it held me back. It was making me sick, because you don't work your purpose, and if you work your purpose, you don't work it at the fullest, because you're afraid of succeeding. And I know that sounds strange, but we'll get into that later. So people can call in, though, at
866-510-9025 if they have any questions, and press star, and I can see who's calling in. I see somebody now, they're on mute, so they don't have a question. But we would like for you to call, tune in to www.blacktalkradionetwork, and today's entrepreneur will come up on the screen, and you just hit that and you'll be able to listen live to the show. Also, before I forget, for those who want to join today's entrepreneur, I ask you to text the word talk to 323-672-4949, and you will be on today's entrepreneur text message. I apologize, I didn't get a chance to get it done this morning, but 323-672-4949, text the word today to 323-672-4949, and you will get on today's entrepreneur text message, and we'll see you down the line. But that's Deborah, I don't know where to start, but you can start with your, how far back you want to go with your inspirational backstory. And you have inspired me with your history of being a queen, being a matriarch in your family. And by the way, she is a wonderful abuela in Spanish, and a matriarch in her family. She has 13 grandchildren. And
exactly.
Of those, she loves every one of them. And I'm sure even before the children came along, grandchildren came along, it was your children which helped inspire you to grow into the fabulous entrepreneur that you are today. Am I right?
Right. And number one, I love to talk. People know that. They're probably laughing right now. They say that's putting it lightly. And number two, I love rain. So today was a perfect setup here in California for this show. So I love the rain. And last night I was finalizing my notes by the fireplace and doing a YouTube video, you know, for my grandchildren, because a lot of them are in Texas. And so today is just perfect. But what I wanted to start out with, and I'm going to go back to 1992 when the smile was forming. I want you to get that right, forming. And that was with the Rodney King incident. And after that, it was like, what can you do? And then my daughter, Lena Marie, wrote an award-winning piece that was posted in the Journal in 1993. You can Google that, back in 1993. And she used SMILE, and she did it as an acronym. And she did BOLD, B-O-L-D, as an acronym. And so that's when SMILE started. I didn't have anything to smile about. I really didn't want to live. When I smiled, my face quivered. So it always hasn't been this happy, positive, you know, smile lady. And with my children being so spaced, you know, one born in 1969, one born in 1973, one born in 1984, and one born in 1981. So I have four children, but two of them, the two oldest, are digital immigrants, and the two youngest are digital natives. Now, I know you're going to say, what does this have to do with, are we afraid of success? I'm getting to that. And when I went back to school, when my youngest, born in 1981, was a senior at John Muir High School, and now I have my master's degree in human development, a dual master's in social change, and then I'm working on my doctorate. Future, you'll see. You could call me Dr. Smile right now. But what my thesis was, and I'm going to go into this, is the game has changed, people. Teaching and learning with the first digital generation. I did a lot of the study out of my own home because I had digital natives born before 1980. Okay, then I have digital immigrants. I mean, digital natives born after 1980, 1981 and 1984. Then I have digital immigrants, 1969-1973. And of course, you know, you and I are digital immigrants. And you look in the school system and you still see digital immigrants that may not even be that good with technology teaching digital natives. Now, where can you go where you have the immigrants teaching the natives? And unless we step up to the plate, because it's not going anywhere, we will not succeed. And a lot of times the teachers still want to teach, but they're afraid to go to that next level technology because they don't know it, and they may feel stupid in front of their students and this and that and the other, so they're really proud, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to do it. And here the kids are learning hypertext, and we're teaching them linear. Their attention span is maybe about as long as a parakeet. Google me. You know, people Google what I just said. Go ahead and Google it. And their attention span with this instant society is getting shorter and shorter. So to hold their attention, you have to speak their language. And so that's where I get a lot of it back in the Willie Lynch and all of that. We're afraid of success. You know, and the Willie Lynch letters say if there's no back door, the one that's brainwashed will cut a back door to go through it because they're afraid to go through the front door. They have been, their brain has been sucked out. So
now, I'm proud myself to walk through the front door. No back door here, unless it's my own back door.
Exactly. Wow. And the back door is a figure of speech. In other words, you keep yourself low. If you're familiar with the Willie Lynch letter of 1712, it talks about how to make the slave. And it's supposed to last 300 years, and it's still going on. And 300 years was 2012. So here we are in 2017. And I still see the Willie Lynch principles, including with what I was taught. I was raised under that. I see it now that I read it. And you just got to say, you know, that back door, in other words, the mother, after watching her child or husband get beat, tarred and killed in front of her, and then he tells her, look, this will happen to every one of them if you don't follow my rules. So the mother raises the child to be under that mindset because she doesn't want to see her child or husband killed, so she obeys. And that's the point. If you watched I think the movie was 12 Years a Slave,
yes,
where the man took the woman in there and brutally, not 12 Years a Slave, whatever, the scene, if anybody knows, they can text us or whatever, and he took the wife and just brutally, you know, raped her. And then when the husband went in, the little boy was looking up saying, oh, no, it wasn't 12 Years a Slave. The little boy looked up at the father and said, what you gonna do? Like, that's what he was looking at. So when the father went to try to go help, he got killed. So he watched his mother get raped, and then he watched his father get killed. And he ran away to make a life of himself because he was taken in by the woman. And so that mindset, we're afraid because of the Black Wall Streets in 1921, that massacre. We're afraid because of Willie Lynch, 1712. In the back of our mind, we're afraid. And I would love to read this poem by Marianne Williamson.
Please
and it's
do.
From Return to Love, Reflection on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. May I?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I love this. I heard this for the first time in Aquila and the Bee. And if you have children out there, that's a good movie to look at, Aquila and the Bee. But it came out of this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's my branching off. Huh?
Wow.
Pardon?
That's just very, very moving. Thank you for sharing that, smile lady.
Right, because if we are afraid, and you know, she don't think I'm thinking this and this and that and the other, so you shrink down to their level and blah, 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 because you don't want them to feel inadequate. But you doing that is harming them. You step up to what you're supposed to be, then guess what? They will become birds of a feather flocked together. Are you going to come down, or are you going to have them come up and soar with you? Like Zig Ziglar says, I'll see you at the top. Do you know one person said to me, how dare you? I said, excuse me? I said, I'll see you at the top, which means you will be there too. And they misinterpret it like you're trying to be. I used to say that all the time, Zig Ziglar, Zig Ziglar, you know. And I used to say that, and I had the pleasure of seeing him in person. And it's like, wow, how people get offended when you speak that. Hello?
That's if you're condescending, they would say that you're condescending if you say see you from the top. But if you say see you at the top, that means you're both at the top.
Exactly. I'll see you at the top. That is one of Zig Ziglar's. They can Google that too. Digital natives out there listening, they're probably Googling and stuff right now as I speak. But before I can say are we afraid of success, we got to talk about what success is. Now, success, if you kind of look it up or Google it, it means, oh, I've arrived, okay? Success means to flourish. Oh, you know. Success means to thrive, not just survive, paycheck to paycheck, this and that and the other. I woke up, I'm living, thank you. No, thrive, and that means working in your purpose. And success also means to achieve something you plan to do. Like you plan to do this radio talk show. You plan to do the TV show. You plan to reach out, you know, in the world and educate people about entrepreneurship. You're successful right there.
Thank you.
Like you
and
said,
so are you
were
Deborah.
Afraid.
So are you. I was. I was just shaking in my boots. But I had to get to a certain point to realize that, yes, I can do that. The seed was planted. And now it's being nurtured and watered 7 days a week. I didn't mean to cut you off, my queen. Even though Even though I do today's entrepreneur Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'm in the grind for today's entrepreneur 7 days a week, almost 25/8. When I'm
exactly.
out and about wherever I'm going as a global resource specialist. Whether it's on a conference call that I do on Sunday night with black business owners called Black Trade Lines, whether I'm out networking and actually meeting people for today's entrepreneur show, and then I tell them what I'm doing, and immediately they say, well, they gravitate toward me. They thank you. They say, congratulations. How did you do it? And I'm doing this to inspire others so that they can do as well. And the reason why I do today's entrepreneur is to showcase entrepreneurs of from the babies on up. Entrepreneurs are color lines, so it's not only blacks, it's Hispanics, Asians, mulatto, Indian, Jamaican, worldwide. Eventually, I look to do this around the world, and then with this Part B coming up, the TV show. But I said, let me start in my own backyard. Let me start with people that I know. And you and I were supposed to do a show last year, but there were some technical difficulties. Started to be some technical difficulties today, but the devil's a liar, and he got off the line because he realized how powerful we are, and the fact that we're doing this today, and it's a step in the right direction. Why not start off 2014 doing something that you've always wanted to do instead of saying, I wish I could. 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Instead of saying, I wish, I want to, I think I can, but be the little red engine that said, I think I can, and then eventually the little red engine got to the top of the hill and said, oh my gosh, I did it, and boom, they were, the little red engine was on its way, because it you put one step in front of the other, and you're able to move forward. And so that's what I do, is inspire others out there that want to be entrepreneurs, that are entrepreneurs, that have something to say, and the backstories of the entrepreneurs each week just gets better and better. And I ask that everybody grab a notepad and a pen and write with every time that you sit down to your computer, your laptop, your cell phone, however you listen in to the show. Make sure that you have something to write with, and today you're definitely going to get some golden nuggets from Deborah Johnson, the Smile Lady, and she coined that phrase many years ago, and she knows a lot of people, not only here in Southern California, but around the world. She's built up an audience, and I just am so thankful that she's doing what she does in inspiring the whole family to smile. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's a smile, and not just...
Well, I remember being on your show a couple of years ago in the studio, and that's where part of how you inspired me, but back then I wasn't ready. So if I were to get another opportunity to be invited on the Smile Lady show, I'm ready.
Which you
time.
Will.
Okay.
And you know what? March, kind of think of that, because I know I'm booked all the way up and I got my show scheduled through May, but that will be a good show because I have somebody on there that you would really network with. Well, what I consider myself is a general contractor for our youth. And like I said, since 1992, I've been doing this without pay. And I want to not correct you on a point, but bring out a point. I got my degree from Pacific Oaks here in Pasadena. And you said colorblind. That term I don't like personally, because I don't want people to be blind to my color.
Thank you for correcting me.
I don't like the term colorblind or tolerance. I don't want you to just tolerate me. I want you to embrace me. I don't want you to be colorblind. I'm African. As a matter of fact, I did my DNA, and I'm 15% Ghana, 15% Nigerian, 10% Mali, 14% Irish. You know, so I can go on with 100. I'm like, out of that, I'm like 75% African, and the rest of it's broken down. And the most I am is outside of Africa is 14% Irish. But I don't want you to be colorblind to my culture. And that's one. And then I want to be proud of the 21st Women's March all around the country, even in Antarctica. Now, if we women will stick together, we can make a change that's totally amazing. I'm so tired of us, I'm including myself, I'm not saying you or y'all, us talking about each other and pulling each other down, and petty stuff like your weave or your nails or this or blah, blah, blah. Who do you think you are? We need to stick together. You know, they say the hand that rocks the cradle is the one that rules the world. I don't know who said that, but that's it. And if you notice, go back to the South, go back to the day, the melanin in our body, Google this, people. They knew it was so rich and so good for your brain that they had black nannies nursing children of other colors. You know,
that's phenomenal right there. That we are the only human that has that particular ingredient. And how many of them, or how many of us, know how powerful that is? I'm going to do a sidebar real quick. I went to see a movie, Hidden Figures, just last week. And while I was waiting for a friend of mine to join me, I saw three young students that had just graduated, high school students of 2016. And I pulled up a picture, a very dear picture to my heart. I said, I just introduced myself to you. And I pointed to the gentleman that was sitting next to me. And I said, do you know who that is? And they looked at each other and they looked at me. And they had a question on their face. Said, no, we don't know who he is. I said, that's Dick Gregory. And a big question on their face. I said, oh my gosh, you don't know who Dick Gregory is? And they kind of, no, we don't know who he is. I said, okay, ask your mama, ask your daddy, ask your grandparents, ask your aunties, uncles, ask your great grandparents, and they're still alive. Look him up yourself as to who Dick Gregory is. But that's just, that really floored me, the fact that we don't know our history. But today, you and I are here making history because we stepped out on faith and we didn't give up, and we are where we are, and we're moving forward every day. And the fact that you inspire people, I inspire people, and that's what we do, because that's just in our DNA that we inspire.
Right.
So we inspire, and I'm so thankful to do it.
Let me go back to the Dick Gregory story. The Dick Gregory story.
Hold that thought. It's Deborah the Smile Lady. We're at the halfway point. Wow, how that fast first half hour. We're going to be taking a station break. This is your host, today's entrepreneur, Andrea James, and we will be right back. Stay there.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, thank you for staying with us. Each and every minute that we're on the show, every Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I try to bring on phenomenal guests that just have words of wisdom and share their backstory. And that's why I do this, to inspire somebody. And my illustrious guest this morning, Deborah the Smile Lady, we were talking about Dick Gregory.
Yes. Okay, now, Dick Gregory, I love him. He's right off the cuff.
Let me ask you this. Was he afraid of success?
Oh, no. And you remember when I don't know if you remember when he went on that fast and wasn't going to eat until there was something he was standing up for, and he wasn't going to eat, and people couldn't believe that he went so long without eating. He lost a lot of weight because he was a little heavier.
Can you hold that point right there? We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
My King Joaquin has chimed in. Good morning, my King. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much, Andrea. I have a question for Deborah Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Deborah. My name is Raheem. I'm calling from Black Trade Line. We are the largest Black-owned directory in the world. My question is about the youth. I know you work with the youth out there.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what are some of the obstacles, especially Black youth, What is preventing these black youth from starting new businesses? Because we have a directory, and we see a very small percentage of youth starting businesses. So, in you know, if you could give us your insight on that.
Okay. My insight on that, and I was going to branch off with that with Dick Gregory, how we are the digital immigrants, have not instilled that. And I know when I opened my business back in 1981, a beauty supply and salon here in Pasadena on Lake, it was called Universal, and I had my digital immigrant, my two teenagers at, you know, at the time, they, right then, I should have had them and embraced them to come in and learn the business, even if that's not what they wanted to do. It's the foundation and the home teaching and bringing them on, and you're going to do what I want you to do until you figure out what you want to do, and educating them. And I think a lot of it is the elders sometimes not embracing that these are digital natives. They speak a different language, and we have to find out what they love to do and mentor them. They need someone to coach them along. So we got to get out there more and reach out there more and be hands-on. Like I say, I'm a general contractor for you, just like you right now. I did this just the other day. I'm an educational surrogate here with the Pasadena Unified School District, and any child with an individualized education plan, they call me. And I go and advocate for them because their parents are dead or in jail or whatever. So it's not required, but I go and I meet with the child. I want to meet with this child. Even though I'm not their parent, I treat them like they're mine. And I ask them, what is it you love doing so much you would do it even if you did not get paid? So this one particular one, I just had one last week. He says, I love magic. I've been doing magic all my life. I love it. Now, you don't laugh at what they like to do. They may like to talk on the phone. They can get a career in talking. Look at Oprah, you know, or whatever. So what I said, you know what? I know some magicians at the Magic Castle. I'm going to hook you up. Now, I called the person. They sent me two VIP passes, guest pass, and boom. Now, what I'm going to do as a general contractor, I'm going to ask this magician who's a member of the Magic Castle here in California. You can Google that. It's an exclusive membership-only club. And I'm going to say, could you mentor this young man for, you know, at least 5 minutes a month? Just talk to him. If something else comes out of it beyond that, that's up to you and the child. You know, he's a ward of the court or the state. And so that's, to me, how you encourage. We have to be the example. We have to encourage them. We have to find out what they want to do and gear it to that, not what we want to do. Some may not want to be an entrepreneur. Some people don't want to go to school and be a doc, you know, get their PhD. They may want to be out. And that was the debate with W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. Not Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington. You know, vocation versus PhD. They're both correct. So I think that would be one of the obstacles. Number one, us not laying that strong foundation. Some of us. I'm not going to make that blanket statement. And number two, not tuning into what they want to do and encouraging that and mentoring that. It takes the village. It seems like it's an African proverb and people overuse it, but it does take support in the village. I hope that answered your question.
Very much. Thank you.
Thank you, my king. Thank you for listening in this morning. I really appreciate that. But Black Trade Lines on Sunday night, which
I listened to that. Yeah, I listened to that.
Was it last night?
The bus tour. When they were on the bus tour to all the restaurants, I loved that show. I got hooked with him. That's why I'm so honored that he's listening in, because that, to me, needs to be more of that. And I think a lot of times we quit when we don't get the numbers that we want in the first month. Oh, I'm going to stop doing this. No. Look at that movie, Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. When I opened my beauty supply salon in 1981, guess what? It was storming. I was pregnant, real pregnant, with my one born in 1981. We opened up in September. She was born in December. And it was storming so bad we made $9.81. Now look at those numbers. $9.81. I cried and cried and cried. Spent all of this money in here, and I'm crying and I'm crying and I'm pregnant, you know, and da 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 da. And what did you do? And what did we do? And it lasted, oh gosh, we were there before they started building the Food for Less and stuff across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted for a long time. You know, somebody blessed us and this and any other. But that's one of the reasons we're afraid of success sometimes. The first day we open, we make $9, or we first day we do a speech and only two people show up and we quit. You know, we're
afraid of
that. We got
to keep moving.
Success.
The fact
exactly.
that you opened.
Right.
And
right.
even though the first day wasn't that successful, and that's one of the things that I say every beginning of every show, live your dreams. Never
exactly.
give up. If I had given up before I started, I wouldn't be doing this today.
Exactly.
But
and
the
like
fact that I,
right.
and we keep showing up. So I thank yep. you, my queen, for showing up.
So back to the big Dick Gregory. He is one that's sure. been speaking it and bold about it forever. And we have dropped the ball not teaching our children their history. If you go to my Facebook page, I posted today, Black Wall Street 1921 Massacre, where that's the first time I think anybody had been bombed. And, you know, here it goes, this bomb of TNT dropped on this city because they thought this man was going with this, you know, this white woman or whatever. That's sometimes why we're afraid of success. When we succeed, look what they're doing to our African-American kings. When we succeed or get too close, they try to destroy us. There's one right now you can consider a Black Wall Street where they're just bombing them and just taking away everything that that person has done for life, you know. And then we have one that's done more than that, and they're maybe the president of the United States. We got to look at that and teach our children that, and teach them that George Washington was not the first president. But we got to teach them that Columbus did not discover America. We got to teach them about the Black Wall Street, about the Rosewood, Allensworth, and everything we've done. We got to teach them we weren't born slaves. We were captured and made slaves. You know, and everybody needs to learn this, not just African Americans, but Caucasian. The little kids are acting like what they've been taught. They just slaves, they just maids, they're just this. So that's the way the kids are going to treat them. You know, so back to that point, we dropped the ball. So we got to take responsibility, number one, that we haven't been educated. We're scared of our kids because they got this technology scared. And we think scared. I'm saying scared. I'm not saying
I'm scared.
S-A-R-E-D.
No.
Skirt.
I'm right there with you. I feel you.
Yeah.
Skirt. It's not time
to
be scared no more. Stop being scared.
Stop being scared. You know, grandmothers, take up that thing. Hand the rocks the cradle. Grandma's hands. Come on now. And then
and
you go
it takes
ahead
a village to raise a village.
Exactly.
That's what I
and
say.
Let me go, what is success to you? You got to ask that question. Then you ask your grandchildren and children, what do you like to do, baby? What is it you love doing? Or you watch them because it forms by the time they're 6 years old. Whatever
whatever you love to do,
you've been doing it since you were about 6 years old. And then you got caught up and had to work a job to make money, and then you put your dream aside and you look in your
life
eyes.
Happened.
And
life
exactly.
happened.
But no matter what, my suggestion back to the caller is, even if you have to get the job, J-O-B, which is just over broke, when you get that job, still work your passion. So if you're a musician,
sure.
go ahead and work that at night. If you're an actress, wait them tables and then do your thing at night. If you have kids, bring your kids along with you. If it's a rated, you know, a place where you could take the kids so they could see you. Immerse your children. I was in a play, Amen Corner, and it ran for 3 months. And you know my little ones, I had them with their sleeping bag, their quiet toys, laid them under the pews while I rehearsed. They would be sleep and full, but they got that by osmosis when I was rehearsing. And I had them trained, I hate to use that word, so that they knew how to act in theater. A lot of parents don't even take their children live theater, they gonna act up and this and that and the other. No, that's how you train them. You train them going to restaurants. First you take them to McDonald's. I don't like McDonald's, but my kids did. Then you take them to Denny's. Then you take them to Sizzler. Then by the time you get to that five-star restaurant, they know how to act.
They don't know how to act. Like little ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
And they will not embarrass you.
Right. I had somebody come up to me and say, I just wanted to come up and say, you have the most well-mannered, da-da. And I'm looking at them. I said, you don't know how much work it took for him to sit there, you know, like this. You know, that's what I'm saying to myself. But that look, a lot of cultures don't give that look. You knew grandmama's look. You knew mama's look. We've let that go. Now, what is success to you, I would say? Make it personal. Because money is not, obviously, not one of my motivators. I've been doing this for years. Now, you know, I may go ahead and take money. I tried to go nonprofit. I don't like that because people take control of you. And that's why I'm going to get my doctorate and tell my own stories, produce my own films, write my own, so the Spielbergs and the rich people of the world can't come in here and say, okay, I'll sponsor you if you do it my way. No.
Controlling,
I think
right.
Yeah, I think we need to all pool our money together. If 100,000 of us get together and put in $1,000 or 200,000 of us put in $500, we get together collectively. Like Quincy Jones did a movie on Clark Terry, I think, CT. Google that. And how he got the people to fund him, GoFundMe or something like that. And Quincy Jones is well known and pretty wealthy. But he had people come in and fund that movie, and you get to tell the story your way when you pay for it. Then what is it you love doing? I just covered that if you didn't get paid. And here, guess what? Here's some of the reasons we're afraid. Well, I may not be able to live up to the expectations. Look at Muhammad Ali. He said, I'm the greatest, and lived up to it. We may say we're the greatest and afraid we may fail. Well, what will other people think? They're going to think I'm all cocky and stuff like that and braggadocious on myself. That's one reason we're afraid of success. Oh, well, I'm going to lose my privacy. People are going to get to know me. Now, you wanted to be famous, but now you're going to lose your privacy. Come on, oxymoron. Either you want it or you don't.
You got to give up something.
You
got to
give up something. Right.
But you can still, you can keep it separate. You don't have to just lay out everything, but keep it in control. And that's where, when we give our power away to somebody else and they have control over what you're doing, that's not a good feeling at all. When you give your power away to somebody else, oh my God, no, it's not.
Guess why a woman gives up her body image? Some of us don't snap back in 90 days because they can't pay for a personal trainer and jog or whatever. So to have
a baby. 90 days or 9 months?
90 days. No, look at, what's her name? Kardashian was just on the other day. And in 5 months, she was in a bikini. That's because she can afford a dietitian,
a trainer,
this and that and the other. But those who are discouraged and say, I don't want to have a baby because, you know, going to mess up my body and stuff. And, you know, they're afraid of that, or we may be afraid. We give up our body and our image. Men don't have to worry about that. When we have a baby, they may have to go through the stress we put them through, but their body doesn't, unless they eat along with us, because you do crave a lot. You know, I know enough to know I crave different things with each one of them, and you have to have somebody there say, okay, baby, you don't have to eat for five people, just eat for one. You know,
okay.
So...
Deborah, I want to say that we have another caller on the line. 626, last four numbers, 6799. I believe I know who that is. Good morning, my queen. How are you doing today? Thank you for chiming in today. Are you there, caller? There it goes, 626, the last four numbers, 6799.
Well, until we tune in, we're afraid sometimes because we think we have to be perfect, like Steve Jobs. Do you know we probably wouldn't be as far as we are in Apple? The founder, one of the co-founders of Apple was Steve Jobs, who passed away a couple of years ago. because he wanted everything.
Let me see. I'm gonna say she
yeah,
was
cut
there,
me off.
But
come in. Did you hear them? Cut me off.
She may be having trouble with her phone. It's because of the weather. People are having trouble. So let's move on. You're saying that Steve Jobs died some time ago, but he was.
He wanted to be perfect. And so they booted him out of his own company, and he went to Hewlett-Packard for 3 years. And because they said he was so controlling and wanted to be perfect before he rolled something out, that they wouldn't have been this far if they wouldn't have took the reins and said, look, you're out of here. Because, you know, we can't wait until it's perfect. You know, so that's sometimes we're afraid of success because we think we have to be perfect before we started it. We weren't educated on being a parent before we had the baby. If we wanted to wait until we had enough money, if we had this, we had the perfect house, we wouldn't have all these kids.
Well, that's what I think happened to me. I wanted everything to be perfect. I wanted
exactly.
it to just be just cut out perfectly. And you kept telling me, Andrea, just get started. Just get started. And when the things, platforms came to me and the idea came to me, here I am. So I've gotten
exactly.
started. So
exactly.
It's,
and
it's,
another thing,
don't be scared. And I was scared.
You were scared. But look at Oprah. Look at Oprah, some of Oprah's first shows. She was so bad that she was walking through the mall, and her stylist, who's still with her today, I think he just left, said, look, come over here. I saw your show. You need help. And she was going on. She said she didn't even realize how bad she looked in this and her dressing. And so she got a stylist for her hair and all of this, and it progressed. So she was improving. Like Mary McLeod Bethune said, as I learn, I teach. As I learn, I teach. Don't wait till you know it all to teach. Do you know who helped me write my thesis? The students I was working with in school. I used every bit of that. I interviewed a set of twins. And they said, if these old people would let us help them, there's more of us than them, and let us work with them on the technology while they teach us, we could get someplace. But no, we try to segregate. Because you know,
I know more than you because I have more experience. The experience is different because it's two totally different generations.
Right.
And that's, we should embrace the fact that they're even interested in being a part, and that's what we should do, and embrace those that know more than we do and learn
exactly.
from them, no matter what age you are, if you're the babies or a senior citizen or anywhere in between, because as you come together with like minds, that's what's important, is the fact that it's like minds. Take the age bracket out of it, because that's each one reach one and teach one?
Yes.
But at
yes,
the same time,
I
they can do it just the opposite. They can
I
teach.
I thank hope for reaching back and pulling,
yes.
you know, reaching back in history. So they reach back, but then we reject them. And elders, if you go back, Google this, y'all, whoever's a digital native, they want to Google everything I say. I know they do. They do that to me in class. I give them my cell phone and say, Google it. You know, I use the book, What Would Google Do, as part of my thesis. And what they used to do in the African tribe was they would entrust the youngest member of the tribe to the eldest. So the eldest would absorb the youth, and the youth would absorb the wisdom. We're not doing that salad dressing anymore, that oil and vinegar anymore, shaking it up and making a salad dressing. We're trying to keep it separate. And if you don't shake up oil and vinegar, your olive oil and vinegar, it will separate. You'll see how it separates. Go ahead, you science majors, Google that. You know, it is one of those things where we got to mix it up and shake it up. Gold has to be heated up. You know, everything, the oyster, that grain of sand turns into a pearl. So everything that's of value is sometimes hard. Then we get to the next point. You think you have to change what makes you comfortable? Yes, you do.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Yes. I had a baby. Guess what? I couldn't run around like I did before. Or I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. Yes, that is going to happen with success. Some people don't want to let that go, so they sabotage their success. And another thing, Think about it. I used to be afraid of all those things, and I had to love me. Like Maya Angelou said, and I'm going to cover that in the points I'm about to read. I do not trust
people. You have
people.
maybe five, 4 minutes
yeah,
left.
Yeah, and I can get to that. I can get to those
and
points.
Then I also want you to break down the smile before we go.
Again? Okay. So Maya Angelou says, I do not trust people who don't love themselves and yet tell me I love you. There's an African saying, which is, be careful when a naked man offers you a shirt. So in other words, love yourself. And now, when you wake up, you're successful. That's one thing. You wanted to live another day, so you succeeded at that. Raising my children the best of my ability, I felt like a failure at the time. And learning from my mistakes and teaching my grandchildren and other children to smile, which is support, motivate, invest, love, and educate our youth, bridging the gap between the elders and our youth. That's me. When I learn something new, I share it. Gut laughter. I love reviving plants. I'm finishing a book or two. Saying no without guilt. Those are my goals right now. And I used to sabotage my success because I was really afraid. You know, I put up a wall, not saying anything to improve, you know, and all of that. But I want to go with married, and I can go to my smile. Just quickly, I won't expand on it like I thought I would because this time is going.
Yeah, the hours go so fast.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back.
Maya Angelou's keys to success is this. Just do right, number one. Number two, be courageous about what you do. Don't let anybody, you know, you're going to get obstacles. Love yourself. I just read you her quote about love. Laugh. She said that's very important. Laugh and be happy. Have some joy. Be a blessing to someone. Be a rainbow in somebody's cloud. You are up today. You woke up today to make somebody's life better. Turn struggles into triumphs. She talked about being raped and how she was mute for 5 years, and then she wrote the book Why the Cage Burns Sing. And when she was mute, she read everything and then turned all of that into power. You are talented. Don't let anybody say you are not talented. You are talented. Tap into that talent. Then she goes, learn to say no. Sometimes we can't say no. I've learned to say no about a couple years ago, but now I know how to say no without guilt. Sometimes you feel guilty saying no. Now I can say no without guilt. Then you go, always do your best. No excuse. No excuse. One leg, one eye. Look at Helen Keller. Deaf and blind. Always do your best. She didn't say sometime or when you can. Always. Wherever you are at, whether you're laying in a hospital bed or whatever, do the best you can where you are. Keep rising. Then she quoted, still I rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. And you're going to get that. Some people may be talking about me right now. With your bitter, twisted lies, you may try me in the very dirt, but still like dust. For air, I rise. That's Dr. Maya Angelou. And then her bonus point was be complaint-free. Now, that's the hardest one, be complaint-free. So those are the keys to success, but I would expand on those, but the time is going. But you said you wanted me to get what out?
Well, do you have any give out your contact information, how our viewing, our listening audience, and for those who saw us live on Facebook this morning. How can they contact you if they need your services?
They can contact me. My website, which I need a lot of help with, if there's some digital natives out there, smilelady.org.
Black Talk Radio. Black Trade Lines, they can help you. But
yes,
for anybody else out there, yes.
Smilelady.org. And the children on there are children I actually work with, and they're now in college, and I'm going to have a series. What are they doing now, where they're coming back one by one, telling us what to do. Some of them are in college or whatever, so I'll update when they come back and post that. Also, my Facebook is Deborah-SmileLady-Johnson. Oh, no, that's my YouTube channel where I archive my shows. And then Facebook is Smile Lady. You can friend me on that. And basically, everything I've said and all of that, go ahead and look at the Black Wall Street. I just posted it on my Facebook page, Little Africa from Tulsa Race Riot, June 1st, 1921. 3,000 dead, 600 businesses burned, 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, 2 movie theaters, a hospital, bank and post office, bank, libraries, schools, everything destroyed.
And we got to bring Black Wall Street back. Well, it's time for us to wrap it up. I want to say, if you've missed any portion of this show, or if you want to listen to other shows at your leisure, please go to Black Talk Radio Network. Look for Today's Entrepreneur podcast. But in closing out, Breaking Chains of Poverty, Creating Bonds of Prosperity. Stay in the black financially by any means necessary. Deborah Johnson, the Smile Lady, I thank you for being my illustrious guest. This is a long time coming. Today's Entrepreneur with your host, Andrea James. We will see you next time. Thank you so much.
Investing are you.
Yay.